Well, today I have a nature subject. And before I tell you about it, let me read Psalm 8, which gives praise to our Lord. And here's the way it goes. I have my Bible open in front of me, as I usually do. And let me read Psalm 8. There's only 9 verses, so it won't take very long. And it's such a blessing. And of course, it's written by David. You know, he wrote over 70 of the Psalms. And today, he must have been praying and praising the Lord as he was praying, because he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So he's giving praise to the Lord for who he really is. And he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And then he's going on now to praise the Lord in verse 3 when he says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And that little phrase, work of thy fingers, actually he's saying he's so great that all he has to do is move his fingers and it's done. Isn't that exciting the way he put that? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Imagine that. The Lord takes time to love man on earth. How precious. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Way back in Genesis, God ordained that man would have dominion over everything on earth. And then it goes on to say, thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. And then he ends it with another praise. Can't you just see him? Probably in his a palace, praying at a certain spot where he goes 3 times a day. And he ends it with this praise, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? I just love it. Well, let me ask you a question as I start out on my broadcast today. It is a creation story. Have you had a bad cold this winter? Oh my goodness, have I. I thought I'd never get rid of it, and I'm pretty good about not having colds. But anyway, what's the first thing you think of to help you recover? I'm not going to give you a secret antidote, for even the medical profession don't have all the answers as to how to get rid of a bad cold. But the first thing I think of is take extra vitamin C tablets. Plus, go to the store and purchase a carton of pure orange juice. And also, go buy a bag of fresh oranges. That's even better. For sure, there are other medicines to think about. But today, I want to talk to you about God's beautiful creation. Yep, it's the orange. Can you imagine me selecting the orange? But when I give you some things about the orange, you're going to see that God's finger put it all together and made it for you and me. I checked the article in the encyclopedia and on Google, and an article in my nature file to learn all about God's creation. Thought you should know where I got my references. Isn't it easy to take for granted all that God has given us? Although I learned that the orange is probably the most popular fruit that we enjoy. Did you know that? Well, that's what they said in the encyclopedia. It reminds me of Psalm 103, too, which states, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And I like this last part. It ties right in. "Who satisfies our mouth with good things." Doesn't he? Oh, my goodness. We are so blessed. Go to the store. It's huge and packed with food that we can enjoy. Hasn't the Lord been good to us here in the United States? We have so much, and so much is needed to give thanks for it all. I'll never forget the first time I saw an orange tree. Soon after my husband and I were married, some of you remember my husband, Warren, we traveled to Los Angeles for our first ministry assignment for our Lord. That would have been in 1947, a long time ago. Well, at that time, there were orange groves everywhere, and many of them were growing beside the highway. So I had Warren stop and allow me to walk over, touch the branch and the leaves and the fruit on the tree. I was so excited. It was my first sight. No, I didn't pull off an orange. I just touched it. And no doubt the orange wouldn't have been ripe anyway, or it would have been harvested. Here are some interesting facts that I learned about the orange. I want you to marvel at the Lord's blessing. And just one of the many fruits that we enjoy. Did you know that the trees range from 20 to 30 feet high? The leaves are beautiful and glossy and dark green and medium size. The trees bear fruit from 50, think of this, to 80 years and some even older. So some of those trees that I was looking at years ago are probably still alive and bearing fruit. And did you know it requires a long time from the orange seed, the actual seed, to the grown bearing tree? I was amazed. The orange trees are usually budded on stocks grown from the seed of certain selected trees. The seeds are sown in well-prepared soil in a lath house, meaning on wood plank. And about 12 months growth there, the seedlings are removed to a nursery. By then, the trees are usually large enough to bud. When the budded tops are 1 to 2 years old, and I think now already 12 months, and now 1 to 2 years old, the trees are large enough to plant in the orchard. That's how long they have to wait before they can even plant it. So oranges are believed to be native to tropical regions of Asia. They were brought to America in the 1500s. Here's the fun part. Did you ever take a piece of orange skin and squeeze it? I mean the skin of the orange. Well, quickly there's a burst of acid spray flying in every direction, with a nice aroma. And that reminded me of that verse found over in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. I'll just read 15. For we as believers are sweet fragrance of Christ in them that are saved and to them that perish. Isn't that sweet? It reminds me, in my small group, I have a precious lady whose son is dying of cancer. He's been dying and in hospice for quite many months. And she has been such a blessing all through this ordeal. And I think of her as a fragrant aroma. And you know what? In our Sunday school class, the last two Sundays, she has told us that an atheist has contacted her and wants to be her friend. And you know why? Because she's a sweet aroma for Christ. Isn't that precious? And you know what? There's a burst of acid spray flying in every direction. Plus, there are valuable oils inside that same skin. And between the oils, the acid, and the basic skin material, the delicate vitamin C is encased inside the orange. And guess what? It's protected. Oxygen is its worst enemy. Scientists tell us that about 7 minutes after an orange has been squeezed, just about all of the vitamin C has been destroyed by oxygen. So when you peel some of the skin back, you see some white material, and that's on the outside of the orange section. There's a reason that God put that white in there. Because if you do not eat some of that white, then you will get very little of vitamin C to you be utilized in your body. Yes, there's a substance called rutin, R-U-T-I-N, inside this material that helps in utilizing the vitamin C for the body. Yes, our sweet Lord thought of everything. And that's why it's best to peel an orange instead of just trying to get the juice out of it. And think about those nice little bite-sized sections. Aren't they interesting? How good the Lord was to just separate them into mouth-sized servings. How about that? And he created this wonderful fruit for us to enjoy. But there's another reason behind this. More than just convenience. Each section of that orange has another protective material for the so easily destroyed vitamin, another thinner skin. At this point, how could you not believe that there is a great God? A God that is all wise, a God that is all caring. Caring enough to put this precious and important vitamin inside an orange. Think about that. So if you have a cold, go to the market, grab a bag of oranges. Well, the orange is one of the highest in vitamin C of all the fruits. Vitamin C, or ascorbic acid in itself, is very sour. And you know what? If it's not diluted in water, it would actually eat the enamel on your teeth in a big hurry. But here we go again to praise God. In his love and knowing that man would not be able to eat something so sour, he placed a natural sugar and healthy water in that orange to make it edible and enjoyable, and I might add, safe. For you and me. Many doctors advise sugar diabetes patients to take orange juice. Many diseases show up in bodies for lack of vitamin C. And some people call vitamin C the cement vitamin because it holds together, or, shall I say, cements the tens of thousands of cells that our bodies are made up. No doubt you're aware that it helps us to get rid of our colds, but how many realize that it's also extremely necessary for every vital part of our body? So all we need to remember is an orange is not just an orange. It is truly one of the greatest miracle foods the Lord has created. So the next time you eat an orange or drink a nice tall glass of orange juice, please remember it is a gift from the Lord. It's no wonder the Lord said to us in Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." So all I can say is, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. So will you help today by giving glory for all of the blessings he has given to you and to me? So every time you eat an orange, praise the Lord and give him thanks. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.